I'm correspondent Tom Wilmer. Come along and join me at the historic Lyric Theater in downtown Blacksburg, Virginia, for a conversation with Executive Director Seth Davis. When the Lyric Theater first opened its doors for business back in April 1930, it was one of just a handful of movie theaters in the entire state of Virginia to feature talking pictures on the big silver screen, along with air conditioning. It also featured a large organ that was removed in the 1950s to make room for a new CinemaScope screen. Today, the theater continues to serve multi-purpose functions, including special Virginia Tech University presentations, live theater, and musical performance. Come along and join Seth Davis to discover the rest of the story of the historic multi-purpose Lyric Theater. I am your host, Tom Wilmer, reporting from the historic Lyric Theater in Blacksburg, and we're with
Seth Davis, the executive director.
So let's go back in time, the history of the Lyric.
The building that we are in right now opened April 17th, 1930, the fourth incarnation of the Lyric Theater that existed here in downtown Blacksburg. The first three were also located just within a couple of blocks here on the Main Street strip of Blacksburg, the first one opening in 1909. All three of those were silent movie houses, and when films transitioned to sound pictures in 1925, the good folks were farsighted enough to figure that this is probably going to go somewhere.
So this was the first purpose-built talkie movie theater
in Blacksburg, and actually the third in the entire state.
Wow.
So the other two were actually in Northern Virginia. So yeah, when it opened, they were very proud to be the third in the state built specifically for sound. It was also the first building in Blacksburg to be air conditioned. Their slogan when it opened was the new Lyric Theater built for sound, built for you. So you could come and see those sound pictures and also in comfort of air conditioning.
Interesting. Kind of a disconnect on one level, in that Blacksburg was a small town, basically a rural town at that time, correct?
That is correct, yeah. It's still a fairly small town, but, you know, with the growth of the university as well, we're seeing a larger influx of folks. But yeah, at that time in the 1920s, mm-hmm. It was definitely a small town, lots of farmland, lots of farmers. So we say thank you for being so visionary, small town Blacksburg.
That's so cool. So were there some classic Hollywood movies that premiered regionally here? Sometimes I know they'd bring some of the actors and actresses around on tours. Did that happen?
Right. You know, the big premiere that it was actually one of the last films before the theater closed in the 80s as a nonprofit, was Dirty Dancing, because they filmed a lot of it up at Mountain Lake, just a few miles away.
Oh, cool.
So that was one of the big ones. So I'm not sure that we had any film premieres with the stars mm-hmm. of the films here, but they were running all of those big sound pictures and color film and mm-hmm. all of that good stuff back then. And it was really kind of a community hub for Blacksburg at that time.
It was a multi-purpose theater.
It was.
From the get-go?
Yes, from the get-go. When it opened, the idea was to have traveling musicians, mm-hmm. speakers, theatrical performances, as well as movies. When it opened, they had a special opening night celebration for all of the Virginia Tech cadets. At 6:30 p.m., they had to scramble back for their 8:30 p.m. curfew, and then they had a second celebration at that time. They had music and dancing, and it showed off the light and sound. They showed a William Haynes film called The Girl Said No that opening weekend as well. But yeah, we were looking back at some of the old programs from the 40s, and they mm-hmm. were showing multiple movies every week. I think the longest run would be like 3 days, and then they'd switch over to another, because folks were coming to the movies every week. Hollywood was churning out those films, and they were getting them here.
And they had Saturday matinees with serials, Buck Rogers and whatnot. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. All the shorts at the beginning.
Yeah,
of course.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
When it was built, was there a theater organ that was installed here?
There was an organ here, yes. That existed until the 1950s. They removed it in the 1950s mm-hmm. to make way for the larger CinemaScope screen. So that ended up taking over the entire stage area, and they had to take out the pipe organ at that point.
Where was it installed? On a sidewall?
On the sides.
Mm-hmm. And why did they do that if they were opening, knowing they were going to talkies? Was it just because it was so embedded in the video culture at that time?
Well, you think about it. They still wanted to have live performances and stuff like that, too. And sound pictures were still relatively new at that point. When they started planning in 1928, sound pictures had only been around for 3 years. So still, you had a lot of silent films still happening, too.
Was there an orchestra pit?
A very small orchestra pit. It still exists under the stage here today. So it's not a full orchestra pit, but a small sunken pit there, yes.
So we're sitting right on the edge of the proscenium stage right now.
That's correct.
Behind us, there's the screen. But behind the screen is the rest of the proscenium. Tell us about how far back it goes, how it reconfigures.
Sure. Well, our stage, you know, it's still a fairly small stage because, you know, being primarily a movie house with multi-use capabilities. But yeah, the screen goes up into the fly space there to expand the stage area. We're probably only seeing about two-thirds of the stage right now, and then we have another third behind the screen for our music and theater productions.
Today, you have touring theater groups that are traveling and will come and
more touring music acts.
Live music groups
coming in. Most of the theater productions that we've had recently have been local or lyric produced.
Repertory theater?
We don't right now, no.
But that's in your brain.
It sure is, yeah. Actually, the last production that we had was last Saturday. It was our children's theater education group just did a musical production here on stage.
That's so cool. The lyric has had interplay with the university since day one, right?
That's right. The university's been a very important partner to the Lyric Theater since it opened and to this day.
How do you interplay today with university?
Well, we have university lectures here multiple times a year. Some of the different classes and majors will bring in guests from all over the country to lecture or perform. We'll have those events with them. Many times the university will sponsor documentary films with talkbacks. They work with us to help provide experts for our Real Talk series. When we had Oppenheimer, we had some of the physicists from the university come over and talk about the science behind the movie. But yeah, not a month goes by that we're not hosting or collaborating with tech departments on multiple events.
Adjacent to you is the Moss Center for Performing Arts with, what, 2,800 seats?
Oh, it's massive.
Yeah. So looking in from the outside, that's a great venue for the major productions.
It is.
But there must be some intimate advantages of the Lyric for scaling down.
Well, sure, yeah. And, you know, I have to say the Moss Art Center is a wonderful partner with us as well.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, when they had the Broadway touring production of My Fair Lady, they also sponsored a screening of the 1960s Audrey Hepburn film here prior to the Broadway touring show come on. But yeah, I think it is. It's a different venue, different vibe, different feel. You know, here when you're seeing an act, you're in a much more intimate
location. Everybody's close.
Everybody can see the sweat on their face.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you know, the programming that we do here is a good bit different from the Moss as well. So we feel like we complement each other with what we are able to offer and the different types of experiences.
Looking forward in the near future, going in through the rest of the year, next year, what do you have that you're most proud of coming up?
Gosh, well, some of the things that we're most proud of are so many of our new educational opportunities for children in high school and even adults in theater arts. A lot of the activities that we have coming up are also promoting literacy and film education, so we're really excited about all of those. Got a great summer with a bunch of free and low-cost community events and films, including our Free Movie Fridays, which is sponsored by one of the mortgage companies here in town. Speaking of tech, we work with the School of Performing Arts for the Summer Arts Festival. They're the ones that sponsor the Summer Movie Classics, where we show all those classic films. We have a very beloved event called Dancing in the Streets in July. Well, we have a classic 80s movie that we show, and then we have an 80s cover band that's performing out in front of the theater, so as people get out of the movie, they can go and enjoy, you know, drinks and socialization.
And they're actually dancing on the street.
They are dancing on the street.
I love that.
Yeah, yeah. We've got a documentary coming up because it's the story of Reading Rainbow. We're collaborating with the local library, the local bookstore, the Imagination Library.
Community engagement is intrinsic in your model.
It is. It's part of our mission, actually. Yeah. We say all the time that the Lyric is affectionately known as the heart of Blacksburg. And to be the heart of Blacksburg and be providing something for the entire community at large, we really do try to have a diversity of programming that's going to reach out to people from all walks of life.
In a moment about you, how did you wind up here in Blacksburg?
Well, it's been a journey. I started my career after college in Atlanta, Georgia. I spent about a decade there working with professional regional theaters as a music director and educator, mostly, on a bunch of great productions there, and taught some fantastic students down there. About 10 years ago, I moved up to Roanoke, Virginia, which is just about 35 miles north of here. That's where you flew in. And was the resident music director there at the Mill Mountain Theater, which is the regional professional house there in Roanoke.
There's a theater, Virginia Tech. I was there when they just opened it.
Yeah,
that's a pretty cool facility.
It is. Very nice.
Yeah. Right on campus.
It is. Yeah, just a few steps away. And so I spent about 9 years there at Mill Mountain Theater and also managed the historic Patrick Henry, which is a historic hotel building. Mm-hmm. It's been repurposed now, but it originally opened in the 1920s. Interesting film tie into that building. The actor John Payne, who starred in Miracle on 34th Street with Maureen O'Hara, he was the lawyer.
Yeah.
He actually was raised in Roanoke, and so they had a naming competition in 1925, and he submitted the name the Patrick Henry, and he won $25 in 1925. I think he was 13 at that time. Mm-hmm. And then about a year ago, actually this June will mark my 1 year anniversary here at the Lyric. So I moved down here to the New River Valley and have been just loving every moment.
What tempted you to make the move?
Well, you know, I think the beauty of the neighborhoods in the area here, we were looking to buy a house with enough of a yard and land to do mm-hmm. some gardening and stuff like that.
So what you're implying is Blacksburg is still a relatively affordable place to live.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the quality of life that you can have in the New River Valley as a whole. Blacksburg within the town is a little more expensive, but there's a lot of great places to live here in Blacksburg, Christiansburg, Montgomery County, Floyd, all of that in this area. And it's beautiful, too. So.
It is. As you're talking, I'm thinking of the countryside. I'm going, that's where I'd want to find an old farmhouse or something.
Of course, yeah. And a lot of our patrons here at the Lyric come from all over the area as well.
We're about out of time, but before we go, to learn more about your world here at the Lyric in Blacksburg, where do we go?
You can visit our website, thelyric.com. Yes, whoever got that domain name did a great job. As many lyrics as there are all over the country. We're also on Instagram and Facebook. You can look us up, The Lyric Theater Blacksburg. And I'm Seth Davis, the executive director here at the Lyric Theater.
Awesome. Seth, thank you so much for sharing. I'm glad you were available.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, iTunes, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com.
This is Roseanne Cash, and I'm sitting here with Tom Wilmer. Please support your local NPR station.
I listen to WNYC in New York, and in fact, NPR is all I listen to. If I didn't have NPR, I would feel like my lifeline to the world has been cut. So, yes, please support your local NPR station.